America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
6:02 in the a.m. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Ed Norris, Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn. Get your feet on the floor. Jumpstart your day with your boys. What's up, Jeremy?
What's up, guys? I guess I have a lot to talk about, huh?
Well, we need a note first.
You need a note? We need a note. I got the note. I just...
How many days were you out?
Two.
One more day. You good, then.
I sent a doctor's note anyway. I ain't taking any chances here. I just sent the damn thing saying, here, if you need something to know that I was in the hospital, here it is. Spent some time in the hospital. Well, a long day in the ER. I was in the ER about 8.5 hours before I was seen by a doctor.
Oh,
it was
just,
and it's not even like, we went to Howard County. They were fantastic. My wife was saying we should go there because it'll be quicker. Last time we went to Bayview, because she's a Hopkins nurse, we're going to go to a Hopkins hospital. Mm-hmm. Last time we went to Bayview, I sat in their lobby for 12 and a half hours and didn't even get seen by a doctor.
Wow. Really?
And then I left. That's when I had kidney stones. So, but I was telling Ed, I'm at the point in my life where it's like, anytime I feel some sort of discomfort that's not normal, I can't mess around anymore. Because every time I thought it was something small, the one time it was kidney stones, I thought it was COVID.
Yeah, you guys used to make fun of me for that.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, like,
you know your body. You know your body. If it's something's wrong, that's why you pay insurance.
Yeah. So it turns out I have diverticulitis, which is, I got to change my appetite up, and I'm learning more about it.
You see the picture I sent you yesterday?
Which one? Did I miss it?
You can't eat nuts, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You didn't see the picture I sent you? Joe laughed at it.
I didn't see it.
I was on a porch yesterday smoking a cigar, eating some peanuts.
I saw that.
So the shells, I sent the picture. It said, you want some, Jeremy?
Oh, I know. I missed that totally. Now I see it. What a jerk. Man, do I miss nuts.
Joe saw it.
It already started. My wife made dinner last night, and she made pineapple fried rice, which usually has cashews in it.
Right.
So she made one separate for me without it.
Aww.
I'm like, come on, this is really what I got to go through.
You can never have nuts in your mouth anymore?
Well, it's debatable, but I got to see a physician before I have it done.
They can be whole. They just can't.
I can't have seed either. I need seeds. No nuts, no seeds.
I think I told you that.
Yeah. The interesting thing is when I went in, I was telling the doctor also said no more than two fingers. I don't know what that means, but at least for a couple weeks until my inflammation clears up.
Yeah.
I'm a two finger man now.
Not for burping, right? No.
I was wondering what they were going to have to check back there, if they're going to have to go in there, if I should go,
Seven.
Oh, man. But yeah, it was a rough couple of days. I'm not out of the woods yet, but I can see the light.
Are you feeling better at least?
Yeah, yeah.
At least you're smiling. You were in a lot of pain the other day.
My God, it was.
You were in pain on Monday when you came to work.
Yeah, it started.
You're walking with your butt out, your chest forward.
Well, I didn't eat
on your
for
toes.
Two straight days.
Like, I know.
Sunday at 5, and then my next meal would have been Tuesday night at like around 8 o'clock. I finally felt okay to eat.
That's kind of normal for you sometimes.
No, sometimes. I mean, not 2 days. Usually, sometimes I won't eat for a day. But anyway, no, I feel better. It's just, it's good to know what it is, and now you can attack it, or at least try to avoid it, because if I have a flare-up like this, I don't know that I necessarily need to go to the hospital, but depending on the severity of it, I might.
Yeah. Well, good that you're feeling better.
Yeah.
You feel
no
better.
More nuts.
But you definitely should when you got something.
Yeah. Well, it's like I said, look, I'm falling apart. I got a random text from a buddy like right after I got out of the hospital. He's like, hey, man, haven't talked in a while. How you doing? Interesting timing. Apparently, I got diverticulitis and I can't eat certain things. I've battled depression my whole life now, and now it's come full circle. My prostate's oversized. My back's broken. My neck's broken. I'm gaining weight because I can't work out. I need to lose weight so I can work out. All these things that are happening, and I'm like, but other than that, I mean, things are awesome.
Whatever. It's just, as I said, when I had the surgery with the back, I was like, nobody wants back surgery, but at least you know what it is.
Yeah.
That's all I cared about.
And then you had to have more surgery.
Yeah.
Well, you had the shoulder surgery, then the back surgery. You all right over there? What'd you get, the wrong orange juice?
Orange juice with mango.
Oh. Hold on, I thought you were tropical weather people.
I like tropical weather, not fruit.
Okay. But let that man go.
Man, so good. You're feeling better. Ed, how are you?
I'm good. I'm doing all right.
Yeah, it was my turn this week.
Been started physical therapy 2 days ago. I feel much better. Just getting it stretched and worked on. And some,
that's what Jeremy getting, was doing.
What are you getting stretched?
My back, my legs.
Thought you were getting stretched out.
I don't know if they could do that, I'd pay extra. But.
Oh my God!
My therapist looks like Anna Kendrick.
Oh, very nice.
She does. I said, of course, I said it. She, anybody ever tell you? She goes, yeah. She goes, I've heard like 10 times. Surprised, not 100. You look just like her.
You ever said that to someone that they look like and they get offended because they don't think that person's attractive?
Yes.
You probably said it on purpose.
I did not.
No, you did.
It was told. I did not. It was totally sincere. I told somebody I knew she looked like Allison Janney. And it was like,
but Allison Janney's not ugly or anything.
No. She's kind of tall and goofy. And, and so is she. It's
like, was it Gina?
No. Like her limbs don't look like they're coordinated. It just kind of goes different ways.
Is Allison Janney the lady from the show Moms?
Yes.
Yeah, but what was she the mom?
I don't know if I would take, if I was a woman, I wouldn't take that as a.
She didn't take it badly, but she, you know.
Well, it's like when I hear I look like Tim Allen and I'm like, nah. Damn it. Is he sexy? No, I've never heard he was. All right, I'll just live with it. Like, come on.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, here's Allison Janney.
Yeah, I mean, I know who she is. She's the mom for Moms. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Very talented woman.
Very funny. I like her.
She was just in, I mean, look.
She was the, I mean, I watched that show when I was sick. It was like the late night show where you can't sleep.
Yeah.
I think when I had COVID, that was one of the shows I watched.
You know what I watched?
Man, she was the funny one on the show.
She was the
her and the blonde lady.
Her daughter?
Jamie. No, she wasn't funny. Jamie somebody?
And which?
Or Moms. No, she was, daughter wasn't funny.
Presley, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was the mom in I, Tonya, too. She played her mom, like, beautifully. We're just smoking a cigarette and just bitching about everything. Hitting that heater. You're worthless. Oh, Ma. I wonder how Tonya Harding turned out that way.
Shocker.
Oh, she was, okay, you said Tonya Harding.
Yeah,
you
know, so Tonya, she was playing Tonya Harding's mom in the movie.
And was that a TV movie?
No, that was with
in the theater?
The chick that played Harley Quinn. Why can't I think of her name?
Was that in the theater?
Yeah. Margot Robbie. Thank you, Joe.
I got to check. Margot Robbie played Tonya Harding.
She did a phenomenal. It's a good movie. It's
you should
a really
be thankful.
What?
Joe was. He walked to the other end of the studio just to whisper that in your ear.
Because he knew something. He didn't know. Did you just whisper in my ear? Why don't you just say it on the air? Because every time I hear an encore, I'm like, I know Joe said something.
I don't have any internet right now. I'm trying to fix that.
Oh, he's down. So we don't talk to him.
Yeah, leave him alone. Commissions Baltimore at 7 o'clock. But on the other side, Jameis will get the start and Ken Dorsey will take over play calling. Does this worry you in terms of how dangerous the Browns' offense could be? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
Well, I know that they're a tough team. Historically, they have been one of the best defenses in my era. So I know they're going to play hard. I know that they have a good secondary. One of my good friends over there, Marlon Humphrey, we're from the same area. I know that I'm 14. He's a great player. They have a nice veteran back end with Eddie Jackson. He's awesome. And Marcus Williams, he's awesome too. So we just got to go and do our job. It's really not about them and who they are. It's about us and who we are.
Yeah, Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. So far this year, Jameis Winston has only attempted 12 passes.
They were all this week, right?
For 6 completions. Yes. Yeah, well, one was against the Commanders back in on the 6th of this month, but the other 11, this week. Because he was the emergency quarterback.
And then when they saw DTR play, they're like, damn, this is an emergency.
Yes.
Yes. Get him in.
So he has one touchdown, no interceptions. But we know what Jameis Winston is all about.
Mm-hmm.
We do. We know that the year that he was a 30-30 man, that's good in baseball. Not so much in football.
He 30, saw
33 touchdowns, 30 interceptions.
He saw Ohtani go 50-50. Let's see what he can do.
Why not?
Watch me.
Watch this.
Hats off to Tampa Bay for letting them continue to throw the ball. He threw for 5,000 yards that year.
Yeah.
He did. He led the league in attempts, yards, and interceptions.
If you count it the other way, it'd be 8,000.
How about that?
Add those in.
Well, you got to add. Well, that's the case. Then you got to be fair. That means he completed not 380.
410. That's right.
give that man all of that.
Is he not one of the most fun people to just watch or even have him interview?
He's no.
Yes.
I think he is.
His eyes get all big.
I think he's so corny.
He is corny.
I think
absolutely.
He's so corny, man. It's like, dude.
That's why he's funny.
But I don't think he's being fake.
He's like a child.
I think that's him.
It's like, shut up.
That's definitely him.
I like
just,
him.
I don't. He's a buffoon.
I do. You ever hear him talk about certain foods and things? Oh, you got to eat and his eyes get all big?
The crab legs?
Yeah. Oh, well, I don't think he wants to talk about those.
I think he's a nice guy.
I do, too.
I will say that about him.
Wonderful teammate.
You said genuine. I think he is genuine. I just think he's corny. I don't think.
Like Russell Wilson's very genuine.
No.
He's just corny.
No.
I really dislike him now.
I think I could like Jameis Winston.
Mm-hmm.
If I met him, I still think he would be corny. I don't think he'd be corny. I don't think I could like Russell Wilson.
No. I'm not calling his agent to have a beer. No. What a ridiculous person.
I just, dude, come on, dude. You're not the most important man in the room. That would bother me.
I mean, here's the deal, though. When you get, I was just saying to Ed on Monday, like, all right, you get to face the Browns, or maybe it was Mike Preston I was talking to. You get to face the Browns, and now you don't get Deshaun Watson, which is what everybody wanted because he was having a season that was epically bad, maybe one of the worst in NFL history. Jameis Winston's interesting because he's going to give you a couple to take away. I mean, he'll give you opportunities. You just got to make the play, but he can also beat you because he can sling that football. And he's not afraid to throw it anywhere.
Yeah, whatever. I hear you. I hear you, but no. No.
Is he a better option than what you saw from Deshaun Watson?
I think they're one of the same.
Jameis
Winston, for his career, has thrown 99 interceptions. We keep talking about the one he threw 30. Well, he only threw five in 2022. Yeah, but he threw four touchdowns. He only had 150 attempts. Jameis Winston will give you that football constantly. Yeah, he'll throw some touchdowns in mop-up duty. That's not necessarily true. Yeah, it is. A lot of his touchdowns come when they're trailing.
No,
if you watch the Buccaneers, that was the fan base's biggest concern about him. He was throwing the ball away in crunch time, in crucial times. He gives that thing away.
I'm not saying he didn't get junk touchdowns, but he wasn't Elvis Gerback on the Chiefs throwing for 40 touchdowns or 4,000 yards when they were down 21 points all the time. It wasn't like his team was getting their ass handed to him. The very next year, what were they, 8-8?
He's got a career passer rating of 87.
Right before Brady took over.
7-9.
I mean, and Brady ends up taking him to the playoffs and eventually to the Super Bowl.
In 2,900 attempts, he's completed 61%, which is nothing. And his passer rating is 87. That's who he is. That's who he is. That's the same thing you're going to get with Watson.
No, not this year.
Okay.
Watson doesn't even give you the yards. I mean, look, this cat has thrown for 120. This is Watson's year this year. He has not thrown for over 200 yards in a single game. In a single game. And he's had games where his team lost 34-13, 21-14, 33-17, where you could throw those junk touchdowns and Watson couldn't even do that.
And for the Browns, he's 61% and 81 passer rating. That's just, I mean, those, to me, you're not, you can argue styles, but in terms of productivity or in terms of my fear of either one of them is about the same. I'm not really concerned. I'm not shaking my boots because Jameis Winston is starting.
No, but nobody said that.
No. I'm not concerned about Jameis Winston starting.
Nobody said that. I'm just saying I think they're better off with Winston than they are with Watson. It can't be any worse.
Although Watson, he was having like his best game of the year before he got hurt that game.
That was pretty
against,
early.
Against Cincinnati?
Early. He was 15 except of 17.
Yeah, for 128 yards. Yeah. Why don't you throw the ball downfield?
Because I can't.
5-yard completions at a time.
Yeah. I just, they're better off with Jameis Winston. They were four before, now they're five.
Well, I don't feel like the Ravens should be afraid of anybody, but I don't feel like you're good enough to overlook anyone either, especially within your own division.
Don't change the conversation. I'm not overlooking Jameis Winston. I'm just saying I'm not. He's not a quarterback that I fear. I don't think he is.
You just said you're not worried about him, right?
He's not a factor in this game, in my opinion. He's not the factor. I'm more concerned. If you ask me about the Browns defense, than I am about Jameis Winston.
You're more concerned about the Browns' defense against the number one offense in the league than what we've seen this defense do against a quarterback that's willing to push the ball downfield.
Yeah.
I don't understand
Baker Mayfield was willing to push the ball downfield.
He wasn't the only one. Gardner Minshew did it.
Okay.
I mean, look at the Ravens' secondary is rated where?
Well,
last?
Next to last, yeah.
We faced the MVP candidate who's willing to push the ball downfield and was successful. I'm more concerned about their defense and making plays. Overall, if you ask me, am I concerned about this game? No, I'm not.
I'm in the same boat as you. I'm not concerned about the game. I think they're better off with Winston than they are with Watson. My dear.
I think they're one and the same. Let's go to East Baltimore and get Larry. What's up, Larry?
How y'all doing?
Doing good. Well. How are you, man?
Yeah. I'm saying with Winston, they better all start the kid number 17. He's better than them.
Who, DTR?
two picks last week.
He's awful, man.
But I'm just saying with the Ravens, though, only thing I'm just worried about the Ravens, don't nobody get hurt. They can put up 50 on Cleveland if they want to.
Yeah. That's a fact.
I mean, Rob's right. Cleveland has a good defense. The problem is their offense has been so bad, those poor SOBs have been left out to dry in most games.
Yeah, like, they have.
So, again, what did I say?
They can make plays.
I thought Cleveland had the most complete roster of anyone outside of quarterback. And it hasn't shown that way, but their defense is really good. And the fact that the Ravens are calling them, seeing if they can get Zadarius back, I think it says a lot about where that team is.
You said they are a most complete roster minus a quarterback. Mm-hmm. You were correct. This Sunday, when the Ravens go to Cleveland, it's still the most complete roster minus a quarterback.
I'm not arguing that.
I guess that sums up my level of concern about Jameis Winston. I don't think he's a guy that will beat you. Not against this team. 410-583-1057, that's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. He was the emergency quarterback Sunday.
Yeah.
Emergency.
Well, he was the backup all year until Sunday. Sunday was the first time he was the emergency quarterback.
Yeah, something.
No, it's the same thing. He was the emergency quarterback this week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And everybody's kind of questioning why would you do that, because you know what you have in him.
I feel like they didn't look, I don't know that you expect your starting quarterback to go down, and they'd been working out DTR to see what they have there.
You got an answer for us?
Kevin Stefanski said that was strictly game plan related.
There you go.
Because they thought DTR, if they had to bring him in, would play better against that team, against the Bengals then.
That was good game plan.
Because of their run defense.
Good game plan.
The Browns had the time possession. They had the ball 10 minutes more than the Bengals. Still couldn't win.
Yeah. Look, NFL's been drunk this year, man. This league is just ridiculous.
Commissions Baltimore at 7 o'clock, but on the other side, Keaton Mitchell's return window opened yesterday. When he fully returns, how do you think Monken can integrate him into the offense? Will it be a little bit issues with the running back situations? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
I think that's all a good question. You really don't know anything. I don't expect him to be back this week, in all honesty. You never know. We'll see how he looks tomorrow when we're out there full speed. But he's been away quite a while, so want to get him going, get him moving, get him practicing football, and get him ready, hopefully within the three-week window. That would be the goal for sure.
That's John Harbaugh on his running back, Keaton Mitchell, to his return. Keaton Mitchell last year, oh my gosh, he just excited all of us.
Surprised everybody.
47 carries, 396 yards, mm-hmm. averaging 5.9 yards a carry. He also caught 9 passes for 10 yards. 5 first downs. Let me ask you this question, Ed. Yesterday, Lamar Jackson said he believes Derrick Henry can get the single season rushing record this year, which would be phenomenal because you'll have a 2,000-yard rusher, and you could have a quarterback with 4,000 yards passing.
And 1,000 yards rushing.
That's playing on the lowest level on Madden. That's what that is.
Mm-hmm.
That's playing a season on the lowest level on Madden. But do you think Derrick Henry will get that rushing record if Keaton Mitchell returns like Keaton Mitchell of 2023?
Yeah. I think Henry's going to be the bell cow because he's doing it without. He doesn't need 25 carries a game. He's still. There's no reason he can't get 15, 17 carries a game now, because that's what he averaged last season. He still had the most carries in the league. So I just think he'll get his, and he's still going to break 100 yards every game. And I think he's going
to
get it.
I didn't get to talk about Monday's game as much with the domination, but he hadn't done much until that big run.
And he's on the sidelines.
How many times? I know. Yeah. How many times do you say that? And then he breaks off an 85-yard run, yeah, or what? And you're going, well, damn,
and
man.
A 39-yard run.
It can happen at any time with him. But the difference is you bring in a Keaton Mitchell, and then now look at how explosive the offense can become from a speed standpoint. So, like, you're getting your mix and match, and I know it's cliche, but they've always talked about thunder and lightning. I think spelling him down the stretch would be great, but Derrick Henry's been a guy that you ramp up headed into the playoffs.
Yeah, and don't forget about Justice Hill.
Yeah.
Especially, he's got as many catches as Bateman. He's great at the backfield, so, I mean, you have a lot of things to do with that offense.
Do you think they'll be able to incorporate him without disrupting the running game?
I think so.
The running back room, I should say.
Well, if they're going to run it a little bit more, because there's so many different ways to use Keaton Mitchell, maybe even when you get Mitchell, you use him more in like the gadget play role that you had Zay Flowers doing some of that stuff. So maybe he loses some touches.
I think that's the only way you don't disrupt the offense. Yeah. My fear is they started the season with Mitchell, okay, but my fear is with the offense rolling right now, inserting a guy like Mitchell could disrupt things, could pump the brakes a little bit and cause them to have to pick it back
unless up. Unless you do it like what Stefanski said. You know, it's going to be a game planning. Depending on the defense they face, maybe his talents are, you know, more suited for that team, or just as he'll be the second back. I don't know. I think Henry's still going to get his. And
I agree, because I don't know what defense that Henry's skills don't match up well with.
I didn't mean Henry. I'm talking. No.
They're new defense in the NFL.
Justice Hill and Mitchell.
Well, the talk on Monday night was that Tampa Bay has historically done a pretty good job against Derrick Henry. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that has to do with Vita Vea being right there in the middle. What a plug that guy is. Yeah. And then you saw it. They were doing a decent job against him. He didn't get as many touches as you expect in the first half. You're going, okay. They're slow. Oh, there he goes. He's gone.
Well, he only had an 81-yarder. It's not like the 87-yarder that he had a couple weeks ago.
Oh, yeah, my bad. Yeah. Plus, he got caught from behind, which he was embarrassed about.
He's averaging 124 yards a game.
It's
125, actually, 124.7.
The thing I love is that, okay.
It's unbelievable.
His touchdown comes on a pass.
Yes.
Which, it's great because they finally started mixing some of that stuff up. And by the way, I didn't get to talk about it on Tuesday because I wasn't here. I don't know if you guys saw the take the top off the defense route, fill underneath against that defense.
Sure.
What a beautiful play design. And he took two guys to run him off, so that way Mark Andrews is just butt naked wide open.
You know what's amazing? We talked about it on Tuesday. You called out slick.
I didn't call out.
You called out slick.
I texted out.
Texted out slick.
Yeah. We did talk about it, but it was great. But
at 2 in the morning. It's 2:30.
That's a basic, really basic route.
Yeah.
And when the Ravens did it, were like, yay! Like, that's what you do.
We worse than, our passing game was worse than basic.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying.
Basically. Because that's what you do. You send guys like that to take the top off the defense, as I like to say, and then throws it, you tight end underneath. Okay.
My prediction is when Keaton Mitchell comes back, that they will slow walk him back into the offense. I mean, really, really slow. I don't think they want to disrupt too much.
Right, he may not be in football shape either.
Yeah. I don't think they want to disrupt things.
Yeah.
I don't.
You know, like,
he's insurance.
I wonder if people now can look at it and say all the things we were talking about when you heard Steve Smith say that Greg Roman's passing offense was elementary.
Yeah.
When you heard Kurt Warner talking about the routes that they're running and all that. Look at it now and see the difference. It's not, it wasn't the, you can have better players, but a lot of these guys were still here. You had good players to get things done. You had one-on-one situations with how good your run game is. It's just sad that the offense couldn't put up anything passing.
Whether you wanted him or not is irrelevant, so they take that out of the equation. With this offense, Hollywood Brown is not asking out of town.
Nope.
No, definitely not.
Whether you want him, that's a different story. But my point is, here's a man that asked out of town because he said they run better routes in high school.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why he wanted out of town.
Yeah, no. And I don't think people begrudge him for that, because I totally got it. I didn't want to see him go. But
there was some who did. Yeah. We got it.
Yeah, because when you don't want to be here, so then fans get upset. Yeah. Well, why don't you want to be here? We love you.
I love you, too.
I'm not getting any looks.
Yeah, I'm too cute to not get any looks.
Right.
That's what I always say.
I know.
Yeah.
It's 6:38, and I'm finished half of my sandwich that I ordered on Uber Eats.
I'm going HR.
You're going to their HR? Uber Eats HR?
Yes.
Let me know how that works
out. I could have ordered the same time as he did. It'd be here at 8:45, maybe. Maybe. And there'd be something missing.
Maybe you arrested somebody at Uber Eats.
There's no Bitmoji on my Uber Eats app. You know what I mean? They can't see me.
Ed Norris ordered again. Put a hold on that bitch.
Well, I get to the opposite. When I go to the other place that I don't go to anymore,
yeah.
Rob Long ordered, put pork instead of turkey. Right. And then tell him to bring it back if he doesn't like it. No, and he can't.
Sad part is the other place has good food, like really, really good food.
Yeah.
I like it. We're not giving any names out.
I ain't giving no names out. I want to, but I won't.
Yeah, I'm the only one that doesn't order food here. And it's funny, I get to watch both these guys and watch Rob order, and then before Rob hits send, they're knocking on the door.
I don't think anyone on this show has ever seen you eat.
In the morning, I really don't.
Anyone went with the Masonis, did he eat then?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You kidding me?
I've seen him eat in bars midday when he used to come out.
I eat all the time. Look at me, I eat all the time. I just don't eat breakfast.
I know, but you like food brought to you. That's your thing.
Well, yeah, it's kind of
you pay like, you know, $150 for three pieces of cake.
You're a VIP.
How much did you pay for that cake?
I don't know if you were here or not. Were you when
I heard the story?
I got so high on a Friday night. I ordered food, ate it, and I was like, damn, I want some cake. And then so I go to desserts and start scrolling through it. I ordered three pieces of cake from some place, and it was like, I think the total bill was almost $60. I think I spent like $170 on food. I didn't eat all three pieces
and
of cake.
I agree with you, Joe.
I only ate two.
He said, no wonder your stomach is effed up.
Shut up, man. You don't know. Cake's good for you.
We know you.
I eat cake by the ocean.
Me too.
Nasty.
I don't care.
Commissions Baltimore at 7 o'clock. But on the other side, Suggs, Yonder, and Haloti all make the final 50 for the Hall of Fame. Your thoughts? Who will get in? Will any of them? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
We had three former Ravens that made the top 50 for Hall of Fame induction. So congratulations to those guys, Sizz, Terrell Suggs, Marshall Yonda, and Haloti Ngata. Those guys are well-deserving, and they have my vote. I don't have one, but they have my vote for first ballot Hall of Famers.
They have my vote?
But I don't
you know,
have
a vote
one.
That I don't have? You know, that's like going to a 15-year-old say, are you voting on Tuesday? Election Tuesday? They have my vote, but you can't vote. I know, but they have my vote.
That's the people that are going up and voting for a third party. You're just wasting your time there, cats.
So Terrell Suggs, Marshall Yonda, Haloti Ngata. I think all three are Hall of Famers. Haloti Ngata may be the one that you question, but I think he was a Hall of Famer. I think Suggs and Yonda definitely go. But which of the three are first ballot Hall of Famers, Jeremy? If any.
If any, only one, and it Suggs. There's too many there's too many offensive linemen that are on par with Marshall Yonda that haven't got in that make me feel like he's still going to have to wait with the logjam. And then when we start looking at some of the other positions, pass rushers definitely get a little head nod. The fact that he has a Defensive Player of the Year award, Super Bowls, that is, two under his belt because of the time with Kansas City when they won as well at the back end of his career. So you start looking at those things.
He wanted to go home.
Yeah. You start looking at those things, and I think it all adds up to say that Suggs is the most likely. But again, I wouldn't be shocked if none of them got in on the first ballot, but I agree with you that they all are Hall of Famers.
And I think Marshall Yonda is arguably the best guard of his generation.
Mm-hmm.
But because there's nothing to statistically back that up, I think Jeremy's right. Suggs has the stats to talk about his impact.
Yeah, I think
it's
always easy when you have stats to back up your case. I agree with you about Yonda. I think he's the best guard we've ever had. I mean, Assembly was great, but they chose him, you know, when it came time to part ways. And I think he was the best of the generation. The problem is it's so tough. Like, how long did Alan Faneca wait?
A while.
Didn't he? Yeah. He was outstanding.
But here's who he's competing with. You got Willie Anderson, Lomas Brown, Reuben Brown, Olin Krutz, who was a good center for a long period of time, Logan Mankins, Jeff Saturday. Saturday is going to get
Lomas
elevated.
Lomas is not in the Hall of Fame yet?
Nope. Isn't that surprising?
What?
Lomas Brown is not in the Hall of Fame.
He was arguably the best during his career. Yeah. Well,
Steve Wisniewski.
Did he play during the same time as Rolf?
I mean, look, but you could have made a case, though.
Willie Rofe?
Yeah.
I think so, yeah, at the same time. Because he was with the Saints, he was with the Lions. They crossed over a little bit.
Because Wally played with Rofe.
Yeah. But Joe Staley's in there. He's highlighted. You know, you start looking at these guys, and again, what Rob's saying is Marshall Yanda, you do have stats, technically, with analytics now to go, oh, he doesn't give up this or that. But I'm not sure those guys in the room understand any of those stats.
I don't think they do.
You know, like, and so when you start looking at it, there's 12 offensive linemen that he's competing with, and I think it makes it difficult. And when you're talking about defensive linemen and linebackers, depending on if you consider them pass rushers or not, I mean, James Harrison's in there. Luke Kuechly going up against Terrell Suggs, more, you know, middle linebacker. But then you got Jared Allen, Robert Mathis, Simeon Rice, Vince Wilfork, who's probably going to get in this year, John Abraham. These are all, like,
Hall of Fame players.
Hall of Fame type players. Yeah. And the fact that some of those guys have been waiting longer and their careers are similar, I just don't know if he gets elevated. Suggs is the only one I think can get in this
battle. I do. He's eighth on the all-time sack list. He's right. He's a half sack behind Jason Taylor. Everyone behind him, 1 to 10, all in the Hall of Fame except Suggs. He's eighth.
And I think he's only second amongst his peers. Am I right? The only peer that is above him would be Julius Peppers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Yeah, because Kevin Green was earlier, obviously. Yeah. Bruce Smith, so, Reggie White.
I think in his generation, he's number two.
Maybe that'll put him over the top. The only thing I can say is just from working with someone and Scott Garceau that voted on this thing, it's an interesting room when people are presenting things. And depending on who you have presenting you, it makes it more difficult to get in.
How much conviction do you think Scott Garceau has for Terrell Suggs?
I think if he's still presenting him, which I believe he is, I think Suggs gets in on the first ballot if he's presenting him. Scott's, I want to say
respected.
This. He's very respected because he puts in the work. Like, he doesn't show up just going, hey. I mean, there's certain times, there's one guy that stood up and said, Peyton F. and Manning.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, yeah, okay, we get it. That's it.
That's all you have to say.
Appreciate you doing that so we're not in the room longer voting on this.
But, in 3 years, if you're presenting for the Patriots, what do you say about Tom Brady?
You say Tom F. and Brady.
I'm not standing up. I'm just, hey.
Really?
You know, just looking left and right. Like, with my arms extended.
You know
extended.
What you do? Yeah. You do the, yeah, keep it moving.
Yeah. You mean when we're picking the Lions versus the Panthers?
Yeah.
Keep it moving?
Yeah. Come on. What are we doing here? Well, you guys got me presenting. You want me to do work on this? And then he's going to go, now let me present to you Richard Seymour. No, he already got it. But it's just funny, though, to look at how, because it's impossible to compare some of these positions. How do you compare a kicker to anyone? And I'm not dismissing kickers. I'm just saying, how do you compare what they do to a guy that's out there blocking a 350-pound guy on every single play? I can't.
He did that for a decade.
Yeah.
Man, 410-583-1057. No wonder those guys lose so much weight. They're tired of it. I don't want to push anybody. I don't want to pull my weight.
When Joe Thomas was calling the game last week, I didn't recognize him.
Yeah.
I was like, is that? Like, whoa.
They lose so much weight.
He lost so much weight. Matt Burke, when I ran to him, look, a different guy.
Matt Burke said he feels so much better. His joints. Yeah. It's just, you know, he felt
pressure. So they have to keep the weight on.
Yeah.
You know, like, you got to stay fat, which is... I mean, you just want as much, not like you're trying to be healthy, but you also have to keep that weight on for what you're going up against.
Yeah.
But like talking about this too, Adam Vinatieri, he's got to be a first ballot guy, right? He was the greatest kicker of all time until we've seen Justin.
Is this his first eligibility?
I think
he's eligible before.
No, this is his first time.
Are you sure?
Yeah. He's underlined like Suggs, Kuechly, Thomas, Staley, Yanda.
Yeah, he graduated. He retired in 2019. Damn, I thought he retired before that.
Multiple Super Bowls, some of the biggest kicks in NFL history.
The most field goals attempted, the most field goals made in NFL history. He attempted 715, he made 599.
Does he have to be a first ballot guy?
No.
I mean, he's either one or two at his position all time, depending on if you're factoring in Justin Tucker.
Like, Jan Stedman was it, Morton Anderson.
You know, he only how many, what's the percentage for Justin Tucker? What do you think Adam Vinatieri is, the percentage?
Like 89? What?
84.
Okay.
Ain't that, yeah.
But hold on. You got to realize, too, he's missing some at the end of his career that affects that.
Yeah.
And then the guys today are different. How many times are they lining up for 58-yard field goals like it's a 40-yard?
You know what Justin Tucker's is?
What?
99. 98.8. No, got to get in.
You know how impressive that is for Tucker because they moved the extra points back.
Yes.
Too?
Well, no, that's just field goal.
Okay. Percentage, but I'm saying those are field goals now. It's a 30.
No, sorry. No. 99 is the extra point. It's 90 for the field goals. I'm glad you.
Yeah.
And that's still a record. That's NFL high. Let's go to Rashawn in Baltimore. What's up, Rashawn?
Good morning, fellas.
Good morning.
Hey, welcome back, Jeremy.
Thanks, man.
Me and Trippy thought you was ducking that smoke, man.
What smoke?
Because you took that Ravens under, man, and
I'm all for that smoke. Nah, come on, man. Get out of here with that nonsense.
Yeah, you know, my Merville math, you know, that score was, 72 points combined, you know. So, yeah, but I'm glad you're doing well and everything.
Well, I hope you won some of that money back that you lost betting against Maryland this past weekend.
Yeah, man. Oh, we ain't going to talk about that,
okay.
Man.
Wait, you're ducking smoke.
Yeah, you're ducking smoke.
Hey, but listen, I called, right, because I know y'all going to do y'all picks tomorrow, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
I know Rob,
the only one going to go for the Cowboys, pick the Cowboys, man. Y'all going to be on the 49ers, right?
Why I got to be Robbie? That's my son.
You know.
It's not the
Robbie, though. Hey, but listen, man. Listen, there's three reasons why the Cowboys are going to upset the 49ers, right? First of all, we're coming off a bye. Our record is spectacular off a bye. It's a road game, undefeated on the road. And the 49ers have Ayake out.
They got Ayake. Who's Ayake? Who?
Is that the Asian Ayake guy they signed?
Ayuk.
Ayake.
My bad. I thought it was, you know what I mean. Y'all know what I meant, though, right? Y'all know the person I was talking about.
Yeah, well, you said Brandon.
But they also lost Samel, too. He got a hamstring issue. Samel. Deboe Samel. They lost him. They lost two of their receivers. Their healthiest receiver got shot in the chest 2 months ago.
Yeah.
That's what San Fran's dealing with.
And they don't have McConklin.
Debo, all of them, man. McCaffrey out. So, man, listen, if y'all want to win some money this weekend, man, put your money on the Cowboys. I'm telling you right now, man. Don't listen to, you know, Ed and Jeremy, man, picking against the Cowboys.
Man, we got to go, man.
Hey, by the way, you're 3-3 on Cowboy picks this year.
Mary Kay Cabot joins us at 7:45 to talk Browns. But on the other side is Commissioner's Baltimore.
Yeah, we're going to talk a little bit about it. So many people are talking about that assault that took place in Federal Hill after the Commanders game.
El Ducho.
Yeah, so I just want to talk about some of the facts and some of the things that have been thrown out there and see what people think. It's pretty horrifying if you didn't see the video.
Commissioner's Baltimore up next on The Fan.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.